Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Shike.
Hey, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Shike. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. The podcast today is occasioned by a John Lennon song written many, many years ago. Very, very popular song, even to this day, covered by tons of artists, called Imagine. And in that song, John Lennon makes the case, asks us to imagine that there would be a world without a whole bunch of things. But in particular, he says, imagine what the world would be like without religion. The implication being that the world would be a far, far better place if there were no religion. So that got me thinking I should share with you some resources to be able to answer that very, very, very false claim, particularly as it regards the Christian faith and particularly as it regards Jesus and those who follow Jesus closely and well. The fact is that a world without religion is a world that would be horrible, particularly a world without the Christian faith. Was, and is today even horrible if you don't have the Christian faith as part of that world. And so I wanted to share with you today three books that I've read over the years that make that case very well, and encourage you to read one or all of them, depending if you're a reader. You can certainly read all of them. If you don't like to read all that much, pick one of them that suits you and read that one so that you're able to answer when people say, you know, if we could just get rid of religion, or, you know, the Christians have brought more death and destruction into the world, the Crusades, all that kind of stuff. You know, if it wasn't for religion in the world, we'd have no wars, all that kind of stuff. You want to be able to give an answer for the reason, for the hope that you have, the reason that you believe that Jesus and the followers of Christ have done far more good than evil in the course of the last 2,000 years. So here's three books, and I'll read just a little bit of the introductions to the book so you get a sense of the flavor of them. They're all a little bit different, and you can see which one might suit you. The first one is by a guy named Rodney Stark, who is a professor of history, and his book is called The Victory of Reason: How Christianity Led to Freedom, Capitalism, and Western Success. So this book is more focused on the past than the present day. I'll just read a little bit for you from the introduction so you get a sense of it. When Europeans first began to explore the globe, their greatest surprise was not the existence of the Western Hemisphere, but the extent of their own technological superiority over the rest of the world. Not only were the proud Mayan, Aztec, and Inca nations helpless in the face of European intruders, so were the fabled civilizations of the East. China, India, even Islam were backward by comparison with 16th century Europe. How had this happened? Why was it that although many civilizations had pursued alchemy, it led to chemistry only in Europe? Why was it that for centuries, Europeans were the only ones who possessed eyeglasses, chimneys, reliable clocks, heavy cavalry, or a system of music notation? How had nations that had arisen from the barbarism and rubble of the fallen Roman Empire so greatly surpassed the rest of the world? Continues on a little bit later. The Victory of Reason, this book, explores a series of developments in which reason won the day, giving unique shape to Western culture and institutions. The most important of these victories occurred within Christianity. While other world religions emphasized mystery and intuition, Christianity alone embraced reason and logic as the primary guide to religious truth. Christian faith and reason was influenced by Greek philosophy, and he goes on from there. And then skip ahead one more section. During the past century, Western intellectuals have been more than willing to trace European imperialism to Christian origins, but they have been entirely unwilling to recognize that Christianity made any contribution other than intolerance to the Western capacity to dominate. Rather, the West is said to have surged ahead precisely as it overcame religious barriers to progress, especially those impeding science. This is nonsense. The success of the West, including the rise of science, rested entirely on religious foundations, and the people who brought it about were devout Christians. Unfortunately, even many of those historians willing to grant Christianity a role in shaping Western progress have tended to limit themselves to tracing beneficial religious effects of the Protestant Reformation. It is as if the previous 1500 years of Christianity either were of little matter or were harmful. Such academic anti-Catholicism inspired the most famous book ever written on the origins of capitalism, and he goes on from there. To sum up, the rise of the West was based on four primary victories of reason. The first was the development of faith and progress within Christian theology. The second victory was the way that faith and progress translated into technical and organizational innovations, many of them fostered by the monastic estates. The third was that thanks to Christian theology, reason informed both political philosophy and practice to the extent that responsive states sustaining a substantial degree of personal freedom appeared in medieval Europe. The final victory involved the application of reason to commerce, resulting in the development of capitalism within the safe havens provided by the responsive states. These were the victories by which the West won. So, as you can tell from that introduction to the book, this book is really focused on the successes, the way that Christianity, scriptures, faith in Jesus influenced, particularly around the Middle Ages and the time of the quote-unquote discovery of the Western Hemisphere. Of course, there was already people here by then, but you get the point. So that's kind of the focus of the book by Rodney Stark. The next book I'll share with you is very interesting in that it comes from India. It's called The Book That Made Your World, How the Bible Created the Soul of Western Civilization. And it's by, I'll probably not pronounce his name right, but it's Vishal Mangalwadi. So let me give you a flavor of this book. And again, this book comes from India. The author is from the country of India. And so it has that kind of flavor to it, but very, very interesting, very, very interesting book. All right, here we go. This is kind of a piece of it, from the prologue. In 1994, India's Roman Catholic bishops invited one of our most influential public intellectuals, Dr. Arun Shuri, to tell them how a Hindu looks at Christian missions. Since his illustrious family was a product of missionary education, the bishops may have expected him to commend missions. Shuri, however, condemned missions as a conspiracy of British imperialism. When Britain colonized India militarily and politically, Shuri argued missionaries were brought in to colonize the Indian mind. Missions, he said, were the worst form of colonialism. Since they harvested our souls, they subverted our culture. From reproaching missions, Shuri went on to attack Jesus and ridicule the Bible as an irrational and immoral book. He then expanded his lecture into two books. So quite the attack against the Christian faith. So this is what Mangalwadi is reacting to as a fellow citizen of the country of India. He says, I already knew that the Western missionary movement, which the BJP portrayed as a villain of modern India, was in fact the single most important force that created contemporary India. Yet thanks to Shuri's books, the frontline missionaries who came from the south to serve northern India began to be accused as dangerous CIA agents. He continues on there. He says, Dr. Shuri's ignorance was not his fault. The problem was that even his Christian professors in India and America had little idea of the Bible's importance and how it created the modern world, including universities, science, economy, and freedoms. Ignorance and unbelief are understandable, but distorting one's own history is a costly bias. It undermines the intellectual and moral foundations of the modern world. This reign of ignorant bias in Western universities raises the question, must the sun set on the West? In other words, if we don't know our history and we fail to appreciate the role of the Bible and the Christian faith in how we got to where we are today, we're liable to sink back into barbarism that existed years ago. And in his case, into some of the very, very difficult and terrible things that happened in India prior to the arrival of the Christian faith. The point he basically makes is it's against multiculturalism, the idea that all cultures are equal. He says it's not actually the Christian culture, for all of its faults. Yes, it has faults, and we'll get to that in a minute. But for all of its faults, brings far more good to a society. The last book I want to mention is one by Alvin Schmidt, and it's called How Christianity Changed the World. Alvin Schmidt is a Lutheran pastor That doesn't make him any better or worse of an authority, but nevertheless, he's a Lutheran pastor, and wrote the book How Christianity Changed the World, in large part because he found that as he was teaching at his college, there were no books available that he could use that would really portray the truth of how Christianity changed the world. So he decided to write his own book. Here you go. A little bit from the introduction. This book is a survey of the vast, pervasive influence that Christianity has had for 2,000 years on much of the world, especially in the West. Being a survey, the book does not pretend to provide a complete analysis or exhaustive discussion of the countless contributions that have resulted from Jesus Christ's life and teaching, effected through his followers. The book merely highlights some examples of the more prominent effects that Christ's profound influence has had on numerous components of the human life. Let's see. Let me look ahead here and read another a little bit, and then I'll go through some chapters here, because I think this book is probably the maybe easiest read and most thorough for modern life. All right, he continues. On the basis of historical evidence, I am fully persuaded that had Jesus Christ never walked the dusty paths of ancient Palestine, suffered, died, and risen from the dead, and never assembled around him a small group of disciples who spread out into the pagan world, the West would not have attained its high level of civilization, giving it many human benefits that we enjoy today. One only needs to look to sectors of the world where Christianity has had little or no presence to see the remarkable differences. All right. In writing this book that accents Christianity's countless contributions, I am aware that often, over the centuries, many sins of omission and commission, unfortunately, were perpetrated by those who bore the name of Christian. So, just there you go. There's the acknowledgement that Christianity, Christians, in the name of Christ, have often done things that were evil. Nevertheless, he says, where appropriate, I note some of those unfortunate occurrences. Yet, in spite of them, God continued to furnish faithful followers of Jesus Christ, who, as a byproduct of their faith in him, introduced and established immense improvements for 2,000 years in virtually every human endeavor. As Thomas Cahill has expressed it, quote, we must consider that Christianity's initial thrust has hurled acts and ideas not only across centuries, but around the world. That is what the following 15 chapters portray. And then he has 15 chapters that deal with the different areas of life where Jesus and his followers have made an incredible impact in a positive light. So here we go. I'll just go through a couple of the chapter titles so you get an idea. The sanctity of human life, sexual morality, women receiving freedom and dignity, charity and compassion and their connection to Christianity, hospitals and healthcare, their Christian roots, Christianity's imprint and impact on education, labor and economic freedom dignified, science and its Christian connections, liberty and justice for all, slavery abolished was a Christian achievement. In other words, he goes in there about how the fact that we had slavery in the United States and around the world is not unique. It happened for all of human history. What's unique is the abolition of slavery, and that happened as a result of Christianity. Christianity's stamp on art and architecture, the sound of music and its Christian resonance, the Christian imprint on literature, an additional influence on holidays, words, and symbols, and so forth. So you can tell from those chapter, that list of chapters, that he goes through all sorts of areas of life and says, here's how the Christian faith has made a difference for good in those areas of life. So when John Lennon sings of the song Imagine, imagine there was no religion. Well, we can imagine what no religion was like. And if you study the Roman Empire, you'll find out what the lack of Christianity was and how that impacted people then. If you look at life in Saudi Arabia, Iran, and other Muslim majority countries today, you'll see the impact of Islam on life. And you can compare that and contrast it with life and the impact of Jesus Christ, and so forth around the world. You can go study Hinduism and see how that impacted India compared to how Christianity impacted India, and so forth. Again, as Alvin Schmidt says, the impact of Christians has not always been positive because Christians don't always follow Jesus well. Nevertheless, that's not an indictment of Jesus. That's an indictment of us sinners striving to follow Jesus. The impact of Christianity around the world has been by and large, far and away positive, and we as Christians can be proud of that and should have some understanding of that to be able to share that with those we meet. So I commend those books to you. Like I said, if you're a voracious reader, go find them, read all three. You can borrow my copy if you like, or go to the library and get them, buy them, whatever you want to do. And there's other books like them, of course, out there. Those aren't the only three. If you can only read one, I think I'd probably recommend the last one, How Christianity Changed the World by Alvin Schmidt. Well, that's what we got for you today. I hope that's a blessing to you. We encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know if you've found other books that really reflect the same kind of truth, other ideas for us to learn from. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe button there. We encourage you to subscribe, like it, share it with your friends. If you're listening on Spotify or other audio platforms, we encourage you again to subscribe. That's a blessing as you continue to stay up to date with what we're doing here at Eagles on the Hill. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. We certainly pray that blessing on you this week, that promise of God for you. Thanks for listening to the podcast.